So yeah, the whole thing about sila is not an easy one, because some of the refined points like that we practice in the monastery, they require us to step back from our own ways of doing things, and that's something which needs a lot of practice and needs a lot of consistency as well. And we've got all the core wats that are not really on the Vinaya level, but they're on the level of in-house rules. And then we've got certain Vinaya areas where they're kind of daily life rules, which don't seem so kind of weighty when one talks about it in ethical terms, but like they determine our practice of daily mundane things quite a lot. So say for example whether we are able to just simply let go of a piece of chocolate if it doesn't contain the right ingredients in the afternoon. It's just a practice of the mind again, whether we're kind of too stubborn to think, come on, you know, or I do really want it, or never mind, that's just a minor ingredient or minor rule. It just really needs firmness and a sense of commitment. And what I always find is like if you practice in a continuous way, kind of like ongoingly, and not allowing yourself much kind of like likes and dislikes, I think it is like gratifying in many ways. And many times you can take back then your likes for the community and just think, okay, come on, you know, whether I'm feeling like it or not doesn't matter, but this thing has to be done, or I need to be there, or somebody's waiting for me, I have to do it for him, rather than thinking, come on, you know, I'm not up to it now. Just like, and then usually my feeling is after having overcome oneself in that sense, then one feels better. One feels like one made a Dhamma victory. What is terrible is if one gets into a spiral of allowing oneself more and more kind of to do things one's own way, in a way where you feel like, you know, I have to do this. Sometimes it's subconscious even, and then you know it's not quite correct, and then later, you know, you feel like you're blameworthy. Whether somebody blames you or not, it doesn't matter, but like you feel just like you're kind of like not as worthy as before. It can also be with things that are self-imposed that don't have anything to do with the group. Say if you had a certain area which you found you as for your own little challenge you wanted to complete, say you wanted to learn the Patimokkha and you wanted to do it 1 hour a day come what may, but yet out of like say you're not so foolish to set up the goal saying by Christmas I'll be finished or so, but like you say I'll just do 1 hour of Patimokkha memorization every day, and then suppose you just do 45 minutes, or like you say, okay, I did half an hour in the morning and then I'm scattered around a few 5 minutes things that adds up to 1 hour, so what, I'll just go to sleep now. Then it's not only that you might not arrive at your aim of like you're not in the framework anymore, but you might also kind of really subconsciously build negativity around yourself and about your self-esteem. So that's something like the energetic person lives happily, even though it takes effort to overcome one's difficulties. But like if one dedicates the effort and makes a special note, I'm doing this for the Dhamma, I'm doing this for my practice, I'm doing this for the Sangha, even personalize it, I'm doing this for the Buddha. You know, some people think more personally about this, as if he was there watching you, or like I'm doing this for higher principles, then it does feel actually much more rewarding, say even one may be very tired or almost sick, then one gets a bit of a mental energy. Like in the mental energy cannot always overcome the bodily problems with hot, cold, and sleepiness, or food, or desire, or things like that. But it can sometimes overcome, and if it doesn't overcome it fully, then at least one feels one has done the right thing, and then kind of in an honorary way, kind of says, yeah, I've tried, it didn't work. But like to allow oneself not to try is that kind of thing which gradually nags away at one's sense of self-esteem or at one's sense of progress in the Dhamma. And that's why in the forest tradition there's so many challenges, there's so many things that one has to work with, aroms and people telling one's stuff and saying, criticizing one. And ideally it's the teacher that you have faith in that says, don't do this. But realistically it's sometimes other monks telling you right into your face when you're in a bad mood. But if one feels generally well grounded, like that one has tried and is practicing, actually, you can not take those so much so serious. But like, I do remember the aroma of one of the monks in Papong, who never came to the morning setup at 5. He's just kind of a young guy. He's not around anymore, but he never came up and just sat there smiling, chatting while everybody was sweeping. And of course, to everybody that looks selfish and like taking advantage or so, and you'd wonder, how does this guy survive this kind of feeling of being a selfish pig in the middle of a community of people that are actually delighting in each other's generosity or so. And sure enough, the guy got depressive and it didn't last. Like, he just got more and more negative. But if he had just simply invested that 15 minutes, it's only 15 minutes of mopping and sweeping every morning. It's not against, not over challenging in terms of his physical strength. I think for any human, grown up male human being, it's possible. So more or less, he could have done it. And he, even though every now and again he may have felt awkward about it, he still have had the feeling, yeah, I'm doing the right thing, even though it costs energy. So that sense of siyasala, love one's own, like siyasala means sacrifice of one's own kind of attitudes or like ways of doing things, or laziness, and dedicating to some higher purpose. That's the thing that Ajahn Chah mentioned many times. Just went through those quotes. He says when there's no sacrifice, whenever there's no sacrifice, then there's no chance to enter upon the Dhamma. To come into the Dhamma, can see it as an idiom to see the Dhamma. It's a bit overtaking the idiom, but it means that you're far away from the Dhamma if you're not sacrificing. And if sacrifice is difficult, then you can also think of a teacher that you truly respect and dedicate it to him, and just think, what if you were kind of living with him or observed by him, or you were telling him what you were practicing, what would you say, and what would you feel, what would you do actually if it was for him? And I say, if we are all Satyaviharikas of Lumpaliam, he's such a model of sacrifice in the workforce mainly. So more or less, just you can never do enough, more or less, to equal his attitude. So if you were to ask him, should I do this and that, or should I take the, say, there's an alternative in your decisions, and there's a slightly harder way, if you were to grab him and tell him, what should I do, you could be sure what answer you would get anyway, by him, more or less. So then to preempt that by oneself and do it from one's own volition and then dedicate the merit to that teacher is a huge, huge inspiration then. Or you can dedicate it to to your parents or your friends in the holy life, and the advanced practice is to dedicate it to somebody who you don't like. Let's say somebody who gets on your nerves, and it's like the bad cop, the bad guy in the sangha, you know, and just kind of dedicated to him, the most sloppy guy that never comes. And that's really the bodhisattva practice, I think, you know, to speak in Mahayana terms, kind of, since I'm going to see the Dalai Lama, so more or less like just to be really able to do that, so to say, literally for your enemies. It's quite a high practice, so, and mentally to be just kind of thinking of that. Usually we don't even think of that, so if we can get our mind around it, actually I'm not doing this for myself, I'm actually doing these things for the Sangha, whether it's the big sweep, whether it's chopping chips, whether it's making nampana, whether it's carrying the spittoons, whether it's whatever, cleaning up the bowl, washing area, whether it's filling up the bucket in the toilet or so. There's so many things that always need to be done, and you can get negative and angry, why me, why me, why me, but like everybody actually knows that self-view, that's just kind of taking oneself too serious, and so just to kind of try at least, then to get back into the mind, actually it's all for the Sangha, and think of the monastery, like how a monastery actually comes to be, is like through many, many people upholding it and working together, and the average has to be enough just to sustain it. Then there can be some that cut the corners and do odd things, but like the average thing has to be earned well. Say, it's not talking about fame and reputation, but like, you know, just the feeling that people find our place is a neat place, and we're actually offering something, and it's a reliable community. We have to sustain this, and it's done by everybody's personal sacrifice, but it's a huge benefit. Say that we haven't abandoned the big sweep, for example, because people like to sacrifice sweeping in every corner of the monastery. Just pays out over time that the monastery is still okay. Or that we are studying the Vinaya and we're talking hours about how to receive food properly and go through all the nitty-gritty aspects of the kapya rules or so, that earns us the respect of people watching how we do the offering, and they think, wow, they still got it together here, they're not kind of sloppy and they're not just kind of doing it casual, and they're still keeping up lunch and cha style, and then that earns the respect. So one has to see the bigger picture, how all this works together at some point. And the whole build-up of accumulated barami, of people sacrificing bit by bit, I think that's like can't be overestimated. And I anumodana with everybody who has.